How are we doing this morning? Can you guys hear me all right? Awesome. Well, my name is Ross Sawyer. It's great to be back with you guys. I was out here just about, I believe, a year ago and came out, and you guys put up with me and made me feel special, and I appreciate that. It's good to be back, and it's great to strengthen the connection between our churches. The Indy Church loves Fort Wayne. We're excited to hear about the Van Buren's coming in, and excited to hear that they bought a house. That's awesome, and putting down some roots, and excited to see what God is going to do up here. But it's definitely encouraging to be able to send some of our staff guys to come and preach in the meantime, and get to spend time with you guys. And so appreciate you guys allowing us to come up and hang out with you. I do want to tell you guys, thank you for Ramika Gunn. She was spectacular at IU. We got to see her graduate a couple weeks ago. And it's bringing some tears to my eyes just thinking about it, because she graduated valedictorian of her class. And she got to basically share her testimony in her final speech there at graduation. And it was moving. It was very encouraging. But her growth has a lot to do with you guys. And so I want to encourage you guys, just that people who have been here, the Wakes, Ramika, some other people, they're making a difference outside of the world, and your impact is being felt outside of Fort Wayne. And so I just want to encourage you guys with that. Go ahead and turn your Bibles over to Romans chapter 12. We're going to be coming out of there this morning. I appreciated some of the thoughts that Joseph had for communion. Romans 5, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. But we're going to be talking about the four R's of transformation. Four things that can help us transform in our walk with God. D.L. Moody said that the scriptures were not given for our information, but for our transformation. And I would add to that also for our inspiration. Some analogies that we use to describe the Christian walk, maybe you guys have heard this one before, that we're the soldiers in the Lord's army. We sing about that, don't we? Analogies are great because they highlight certain truths. There's a unity among us. There's a level of conformity. There's some of these things that come with that analogy, but all analogies fall short at a certain point, don't they? Because we're not going and killing people. We're going to save them. You know, I've heard baking a cake as an analogy. That you got to have the right ingredients to bake the cake. You got to add a little bit of repentance in there. You got to have a little bit of baptism, right? You need some faith. You need some grace. And you got to do it in the right order, else the cake comes out looking weird, doesn't it? I don't know this by experience. I'm not the one who cooks. I just eat what my wife puts in front of me, and it's always amazing. But this is what she tells me. There is an order. But that one kind of falls short too. It's not that inspiring, is it? Running a race. I've heard the hospital, right? That we're the Lord's hospital. That we take the sick and we help nurse them to life. But I want to start with my favorite analogy this morning. It's the humble caterpillar. Let's see if this The humble caterpillar. You think about what life must be like to be a caterpillar. Think about being on a branch, kind of squirming along, seeing a branch way over there. It's actually like 6 inches from you, but that's going to take a really long time to get there. You can't really do much. When people see you, they're like, ooh, that's interesting. Not that inspiring. Life is all about what you could do but are unable to do. But you think about what a caterpillar can become. It's why I love this analogy. Let's read in Romans chapter 12. It says in verse 1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. we're worshiping this morning. We are, but our worship goes beyond today. Living our lives as a sacrifice for God is part of our worship too. Verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed, amen, by the renewing of your mind. Then, after we renew our mind, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You see, as Christians, at one point, we were caterpillars. We were just squirming along in this life, wondering if there was something more. And then we started understanding a little bit, and we had to go into a cocoon of sorts, didn't we? And that cocoon produces something beautiful. Can you imagine understanding what it's like to be a caterpillar and then going to being a butterfly? Seeing that branch that's 6 inches away from you and thinking that that's going to take me like 6 days to get there? And then going, well, I think I'll just flutter on over. And everyone admires you when they thought you were ugly before. And everyone thinks you're beautiful and people stop and admire. The reality is, guys, is that God admires you if you are in His Son. He thinks you're beautiful and you are completely free. Where can't a butterfly go, really? You are completely free where you were so restricted before. My question for you to ponder this morning is, if we're butterflies in Christ, if we are completely free, if we're renewed, why would we ever want to go back to being a caterpillar? Why would we ever desire that? That seems so much less. And yet sometimes we can desire to go back to our old lives before we knew Christ, before we had that freedom, before we had that beauty. You guys with me?
Yep.
Amen. It's not just me, okay? Awesome. As Christians, we transform into something beautiful in God's eyes. And I want to really hone in on 4 things that I think if we're stuck this morning, we can focus on and help us get back into that transformed state. Amen? Awesome. My first point this morning and our first R is render. We have to render ourselves. Oh, we don't want to go back to being a caterpillar, right? So we have to render ourselves. Render means to submit or to give. It's not a word that we typically use in our language today, but it's in there. It's actually in the Bible. Turn your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 22. We have to give ourselves wholly to God if we want transformation. I believe that it is this reason that most lack transformation in their walk with God. That most Christians feel stuck is because that there is a piece of them that they refuse to give to God wholly. In Matthew chapter 22, we pick up in verse 19 actually, says, show me the coin used for paying the tax. They brought him a denarius. This is Jesus speaking to some Pharisees. Whose image is on this coin? And whose inscription? They said to him, it's Caesar's. Then he said to them, then render to Caesar what is Caesar's. And give to God the things that are God. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Submit to Caesar's, to Caesar what belongs to him. But give to God what is God's. Now this is a funny comment from Jesus if you're thinking about it. Jesus was kind of slick, wasn't he? He would just ask questions back to their questions and then not actually have to answer anything. But then he would give them something to go home and think about. I love that about our Lord. But he says something very interesting. Give to God what belongs to God. And the question is, what belongs to God? If Caesar's face is on the coin and his inscription is on the coin, then give it to Caesar. In Genesis, it says that we were made in the image of God. Imago Dei. Right? And so the question is, whose image are you made in? Who do you belong to? Whose inscription is on you? Whose inscription is on me? It It's God. We're made in the very image of our Lord. Therefore, all of me belongs to Him. There is no piece of my life that I can hold back. There is no portion of my desires that don't belong to Him. My ambition, my drive, all of it belongs to God. All of it. You know, at times we can try to section off portions of our life from God. You're Lord of everything except for my wallet. You know? God, like, I held my water or my wallet outside of the waters of baptism, right? Like, don't you remember that? Like, it didn't go in the water with me, so it doesn't belong to you. We joke, right? But honestly, we can do that. We can put our career before God. We can put money before God. We can put family before God, even. There's many things that we can put before God. And we have to be honest with ourselves. What, if anything, am I not rendering to God? Is there anything that I need to assess and say, you know what? I need to make some changes. I need to give this. I need to surrender. I need to submit this area. Maybe it's your entire life. Maybe you haven't made the decision to become a Christian yet. And you're like, okay, I don't belong to anyone yet. Well, you need to render yourself God's if you really want to be transformed. At that point, you're just a caterpillar. Don't you want to be a butterfly? You know, if we want to start transforming, we have to render ourselves fully to God. My second point is to resist, to combat, to withstand, to endure. Turn your Bibles over to James chapter 4. Because there's a logical transition in James here. He says in James chapter 4 and verse 7, submit, render, right? Render yourself, submit yourself. Then to who? To God. Why? Because you were made in His image. You belong to Him. Submit yourself. And then, if you fully submitted yourself, he says, what? Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Before really going about this, I would have put these in opposite. I would have said, you have to resist, and then you'll render, right? But actually, I think this is more true. Because the Israelites go through they cross through the Red Sea, and then it's really about resisting going back to Egypt, isn't it? So that's been my life. I'm coming up on 17 years as a Christian soon. I don't know how God got me this far. He did. But most of my Christian walk has been made up of this point. Knowing the good I ought to do, knowing the bad I ought to do, and resisting the bad and doing the good. Sometimes we just gotta take a stand. Do we have any football fans in here? Okay, a few. So some of you guys will probably know this guy. His name's Eric Berry. Eric Berry is one of the best safeties in the NFL. 2 years ago, he was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. A cancer, a very aggressive version of it. It knocked him out for the whole season, and he was told that he probably wouldn't play football again. And there's some interviews online. You should go and watch them if you have time, because they're really inspiring. But basically, what Eric decided to do was to go ahead and to fight cancer and to do chemo without taking any pain medication, so that he could continue to practice. So that he could continue to practice, because he was not going to give up his dream of playing football. And he decided he was going to conquer, that he wasn't going to allow cancer to overcome him, but he was going to resist. So it started with a few push-ups here, a few push-ups there. He actually, this is amazing to me, he was actually leading most of the drills for the team while he was losing patches of his hair. He's like, you know what, this is not where I end. I'm not giving in to this. He overcame it the next season in an absolutely inspiring way. The Chiefs had him walk out first to start their first game, and the crowd just erupted with pride. Wow. He went on the next year to be the best safety in the NFL. This year, he was the best safety in the NFL. He got the biggest contract any safety has ever received. Needless to say, resistance is what helps us overcome. Conviction is only strengthened through resistance. You think about why a caterpillar has to go into a cocoon. It has to grow wings if it's going to fly. If you were to cut a caterpillar out of a cocoon because it's struggling too soon, it would die. Because what's happening in there is that it's actually hitting its wings against the cocoon, strengthening its muscles, basically. Strengthening the materials. And what might look like struggle, where we want to save, is actually resilience being built. So how do we grow stronger? What process will God use to help us grow stronger in our faith? It's resistance. It's struggle. Struggle is actually a beautiful thing in some ways, because it's how we become a stronger Christian. If you're in the cocoon, don't fight it. Just allow it to happen, because God is strengthening you. You're a butterfly in the making. Don't try to get out early. When he was asked how he did it, how he overcame, Eric Berry said this: "Fear nothing, but attack everything." I believe that we have to have a similar attitude. We can't fear anything as Christians, because we have God on our side. Rather, any situation that you're in, attack it with all of your heart. Give everything that you have to it. Amen? Don't be discouraged by resistance. Rather, resist temptation. The third thing that we have to do is we have to renew. Specifically, we have to renew our minds. Renew, the definition of renew is to give fresh life or to strengthen. To give strength to. In Philippians chapter 4, we pick up, and this is Paul writing to the church in verse 8. It says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable." This is a great list. "If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." If we want to be transformed, first we have to render. We have to give ourselves wholly. Then we have to resist, because life is going to throw some temptations our way, but they're just there to strengthen us. It's opportunities to overcome. And then we have to renew our minds. Because we can get so fixated, I can get so fixated on what's wrong in the world. I can get so fixated with what's wrong with me, what's wrong with my wife, or something like that, that I can absolutely rob the joy from my walk with God, my marriage, my... No one is perfect, right? Is there anyone perfect among us? Cool, then I'm preaching to the right group. If we're constantly thinking about what is wrong, we're going to miss the good. We're going to miss the right. This is why Paul says to the church to think about these things. Let these things concentrate in your mind. Let these things ruminate up there. It's because these are the things that really bring us closer to God. It's funny, because my wife is wonderful. But if I'm in the wrong mindset, I can start to try to pick out all the little flaws. And then she's not so wonderful in my mind, even though she is absolutely wonderful. She's beautiful. She cooks. Do I need anything else? I'm just saying. Happy wife, happy life, right? But it's funny, my perspective about her can influence how I feel about her, even though nothing might change. Our perspective about our walk with God, our perspective about this life, our perspective about eternity can be so important, because nothing might change, but our feelings can change radically. Science says that the synapses that we use the most are the ones that get strengthened. The ones that we strengthen are the ones that we'll go back to. So what we think about the most is what we'll be tempted to think about again. If you think in a negative way, if you have negative thought patterns, you're going to go back to them. That's why Paul's telling you, hey, think about good things. You're thinking about a bad thing? Switch it up. Think about a good thing. You're tempted, you're in a fight with a brother, and you just think he's the worst person ever. Pick out everything good you can think about that brother, and just think on those things. If you're struggling with your kids, and you're like, how did these things come from God? Because they're little Satans, right? Like, then go stand in front of your fridge and just look at the artwork for a while. Like, just tune out everything, look at the artwork for a while. And then think, okay, there are some good things here. I love my kids. Okay, let me think about all the good. And if you constantly renew your mind, it's a decision, but if you constantly renew your mind, your spirit will be renewed as well. Maybe your walk with God is falling a little flat. Renew it. Go out to a lake. Spend a little prayer time. For your prayer time, just think about how God is keeping everything in motion, how he is enabling the bugs to fly, and then the birds can eat the bugs, right? That's why they're there. And so the birds can fly, and gravity is there, and the water's there so we can actually sustain ourselves. Everything is being kept in constant motion by God. And yet I have all these worries. Why? We have to renew our minds. And finally, I'm going to keep it short because that ice block has only given us so much time, right? If we're going to complete our transformation, it ends with rejoicing. We have to rejoice. Rejoice means to cause joy or to feel or show great joy. If you've been a Christian for a long time and you're not in a constant state of joy, then I would put forward that there might be a little bit lacking in our transformation. Yeah, life is tough. Somehow Paul is writing us from prison where after he's been beaten, isolated, probably in the dark because they didn't have electricity back then, and yet he is telling us 21st century Christians to be joyful in all situations. And somehow we have a problem with that. Somehow we don't quite understand what he's talking about. Like, Paul, how can you be so positive when your situation is so negative? It's because he belongs fully to God. Because he's resisting the devil and the devil is fleeing. And because he has renewed his mind. And all that's left to do at that point is rejoice. Why? Because God is in control. If we look over in Philippians 4, verse 4, just a little bit before this, he says, let's see if this is right. Okay, there we go. Philippians 4, verse 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Let's pause there for a second. Always. Meaning all the time. Meaning right now. In 10 minutes, in an hour, right before you go to bed tonight, tomorrow when you wake up, always. Is there ever a time that we should not rejoice in the Lord? The answer is no, according to Paul. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Why should we rejoice always? Because the Lord is near. There is no reason for anxiety if we know that God is close. There is no reason for negativity if we know that God is close. Yeah, life is going to deal with some hard situations. Absolutely. But God is close. That should bring us great joy. And by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present all of our requests to God. There will be things that don't happen in life that you want to happen, or things that you don't want to happen in life that will happen. We have to take those to God with prayer and petition. And just because we understand that we have to do that does not then negate the spiritual discipline of having to do it. We actually have to get down on our hands and knees and pray and wrestle with God and give it over to Him. And at the end of it all, we'll rejoice because God is in control and He is near. I want to leave you guys with a story before we end the service with a song. You know, in our modern era, camping has become a thing, right? We want to go back to nature. But these things called motorhomes have popped up, right? And so this writer writes about motorhomes and the effect that they've had. It says, the motorhome has allowed us to put all of the conveniences of home on wheels. A camper no longer needs to contend with sleeping in a sleeping bag, cooking over a fire, or hauling water from a stream. Now he can park a fully equipped home on a cement slab in the midst of a few pine trees and hook up to a water line, a sewer line, and electricity. One motorhome I saw recently had a satellite dish attached on top. No more bother with dirt, no more smoke from a fire, no more drudgery of walking to the stream. Now it is possible to go camping and never have to go outside. We buy a motorhome with the hope of seeing new places, of getting out into the world, and yet we deck it out with the same furnishings as we have in our living room. Thus, nothing really changes. We may drive to a new place, set ourselves in a new surrounding, but the newness gets unnoticed, for we've only carried along our old setting. He ends with this thought: the adventure of a new life in Christ begins when we leave the comfortable patterns of this old life behind. Don't try to go back to the cocoon, the motorhome, whatever you want to call it, the safety from your old days as a caterpillar. Be transformed and enjoy all the freedoms that come with being a Christian. If we can remember to render ourselves to God, to resist returning to sin, to renew our mind and rejoice in gratitude, we will fly. We will enjoy the beauty of God's creation and we'll enjoy the presence of our Savior. Amen. I love you guys. Let's stand on up. We're going to go ahead and close out with one more song.